all animation is based on change, I think. So you're changing one thing into another, and that lasts about 5 minutes, and then you can't stand it anymore. However interesting it is, you just unplug after 5 minutes. And the other kind of animation is drawings or images, computer images, that walk and talk, which that will sustain for 100 minutes. 72 minutes if the kids have to have a pee, isn't it? That's the sort of rule. So obviously we're going to choose images that walk and talk.
And welcome back, everybody, to Acme Podcast Incorporated. Once again, it's been a while. Real life sucks.
Real life does, in fact, suck, yes.
I'm Kaiju Emperor, and this is my co-host, Cenk.
Hello!
For those who haven't listened, although most of the people who listen to this podcast are consistent listeners.
Hello to all of our adoring fans. Our fanboys, our fangirls, our fanthays. Our fan, everything, every else.
Yeah, I mean, I've looked at the metrics. There's like, it's like a consistent base of like 100, maybe.
Ooh.
Which is more than I thought.
Oh, jeez, about 100 people fucking heard me just like, oh god, just heard me being myself. I did that in the privacy of my own home in a boat, and in these hallowed halls of the podcast. I'm not ready for that kind of exposure.
I mean, it was bound to happen at some point, like where more than 20 fucking people listened to this podcast.
Yeah, y'all really liked when we said punch super cancer in the face, and oh god, what was the really bad title? What was the really bad title?
Was it the Goblin King Macro Micro Play? I didn't call it that, but that was an idea I had.
That sucks. What are we talking about now? What's that title say? I can't read.
We're talking about Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yu-Gi-Oh!
It's time to duel. I might actually insert the thing here.
The shoe bill cry?
Shut the fuck up. Going back to titles, I mean, out of the ones we've done, I think my favorite one is Joe Gresh Gender Identity.
Okay, that one's good. That one's good, and I'm glad it just, like, snapped into there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there were some other ones.
It was something stupid I said. I know for a fact it was something stupid I'd said. But I don't want to go back and read through them. I want to remember it, like, as it comes. Anywho, how have you been doing?
I'm doing okay. Just been very busy with work. And it's been hot in Texas. Very, very hot.
Yeah, we just got the I guess a good cool Texan weather of like we just started hitting 80 now in New York.
Oh, buddy, I wish that were me.
I assume it's worse. I assume it's much more drier.
Oh yeah, no, it's like it was like 94 today.
Any storms, I assume?
Last week, yeah.
We got some I think yeah, that storm from you guys came up to here. It was like some flash floods. It was a little gnarly, but nothing terrible.
No, we got a flash flood like last month, and then that thunderstorm hit. Where we live was fine. But boy, the Houston metro area got fucked up. Office buildings, entire windows got blown out and shit. Crazy.
Jesus.
Yeah, we caught the very edge of it, so we actually got off pretty easy, but, like, in the actual, like, metro area and, like, the downtown and shit, oh, it was insane.
Man.
But.
All those natural occurrences and disasters reminds me of the start of Digimon Adventure, which is how I'm segueing to the next thing you and me have been doing, the Digimon card game.
The Digimon card game. Me and Cenk and several other friends have been playing the Digimon card game because a unofficial Digimon simulator, DCGO, recently came out, like, god, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, Huang Zero and their Discord server I think it's, I don't know if it's them or this girl, like everyone in the server. I think it's just them and like other developers made like a like Unity based just simulator for the Digimon card game, and it works really well, embarrassingly well, considering the fact that there is just one they have, like that Bandai has, that is just not out on the market. People cannot buy that or play that. I hope it stays around. I'm very scared every day that I'm gonna, that little eyeball in the corner is gonna be gone. That little nice little logo, you know, is gonna be deleted.
You know what I imagine is gonna happen is that like Bandai might be waiting for the simultaneous English Japanese release stuff to happen before they try and do a simulator. Because by the end of this year, Japan and the English release will be the same.
Really?
For the Digimon card game will be on the same thing. So that, and that might be why they were waiting to release their own simulator, because like that would be so much easier to manage.
Oh yeah, that's right. Because BT1 like that, for that first pack we got here was a mix of the first three packs, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah, neat.
But Digimon card game fun. I like it a lot. I am always craving card games, and I just, if I'm gonna play Magic, I want to play Commander, and I don't have the money to play Commander. And then, God, do I not want to play Yu-Gi-Oh anymore?
It's embarrassingly so that neither of us want to play Modern Yu-Gi-Oh, because again, spoilers: the show is great. The actual card game, it's like it's even okay. Like, you know what? Let me break it down for you. I'm doing a dance right now as I'm saying this. So, the Yu-Gi-Oh card game, as it stands, is always just going to be this fast thing. Or, like, not fast. It's always going to be this, like, ever-changing beast. And for those that like, keep up with the meta, more power to them. I'm sure it's entertaining and, like, fun when you're, like, that deep into it. But, like, getting back into it, there's never a really good, like, entry channel. Like, once you fall out, you fall out. There are no, like, well-supported side formats the same way as, like, Magic does, or, like, where it has Modern, Pioneer, Popper, all this stuff.
Yeah.
There's GOAT and format, there's, like, other things.
There's Edison format, Trinity.
It's just always the air less of, like, oh, you're playing a format that has, like, rules and, you know, it's like its own thing, and more of just, yeah, we all wanted to play this thing, and it sucked, so we're just gonna do that. It always feels like a house rule thing, which is not a problem. But it feels it's supposed to be a social agreement, but it's defeated by the fact that you're doing it with like a bunch of random people who you don't know, who are just trying to do their busted combos again. It pulls the veil back, revealing that Yu-Gi-Oh is always about doing your busted fast combos, and it's just a matter of what kind of like era you want to do that in.
Yeah, and the thing that I found about the Digimon card game, at least as far as I've played it, is that like it is fast. And there's a lot of just, like, crazy banana shit you can do in that game. But it is not, at its fundamental level, broken like the Yu-Gi-Oh card game is. Like, it has a resource system.
God, like, yeah. Yu-Gi-Oh's only resource allegedly be... Yu-Gi-Oh's only resource, remember, was that you could only normal summon once per turn. Which doesn't fucking matter, because every... Because, like... Okay, yes, that normal summon does... Like, it matters for, like, searchers. It is still very important, but, like, it's not a, oh, the game is built around it. It's just a, oh, I have to, like... I have to choose my normal summon. Okay, here's this. And then because of that, it has an effect that lets a special summon something, or just finds a search, or searches out something that can special summon, or just... I hate sounding like a fucking, like one of those, like... people jumping in and not knowing what Yu-Gi-Oh! Is about. Because I do know what it's about. And all the decks I used to run always had the on-summon, like, searcher, but it had to be summoned, or normal summoned, or just some kind of, like, it was your starter. It was your starter. Everything has that, or it has something where nowadays it's on special summon search out, because they realize that fucking a normal summon is so important. You gotta, it's, I don't know.
I know, I get it. I'm not saying that, like, the Digimon card game is balanced, because, you know, a perfectly balanced card game does not exist. Ever. And it never will. But it does scratch the itch of a fast paced but combo card game with a lot of effects like Yu-Gi-Oh, but isn't, bogged
Magic.
down by it, but isn't Magic, and it isn't bogged down by several different mechanics that,
The stack.
yeah.
I love the stack. I love priority. I really do. But sometimes the stack is what scares and confuses people the most.
Like, Magic is a complicated game. At its highest level, Magic is more complicated than Yu-Gi-Oh will ever be. But, it's just that, like, Yu-Gi-Oh's floor is higher, while Magic's ceiling is. And Digimon I've only been playing it. I can't, this isn't my final say, but, like, as far as I've seen it, it seems to be somewhere in the middle.
It's a nice middle of it's that it is I view like the Digimon card game as like those mid to like lower like turnout brackets in fighting games for anime fighters. Not Blaze Blue, certainly not fucking Blaze Blue. Like Grand Blue versus.
All
There's
right.
technical com there's there, there's technical like level of skill there, but overall like everyone can play it. Nobody is barred out of things. There's changes that are being made that make it work like that kind that's the only thing I can make a second thing of just like it's not the big thing. It's not Street Fighter where it had like everything matters and you have to figure out like and then there's like just the observable hot like top tier and they just always gonna be on the bottom like low tier. It is yeah, there's some low tier stuff, but otherwise everything kind of works. You don't even have to play like, the thing is you don't have to play like new or every new set because every new set like releases. And only a few archetypes really get support. And the support they do kind of leans into other things.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, it's a it, like Yu-Gi-Oh! It's an archetype game, not a color game like Magic is.
Mean, technically, it's kind of a color game, too, because.
It's both, but it's mostly an archetype game. Mostly. Like, it's just that colors limit your types of effects you can get because they are limited to those colors. And then the other thing that helps with the Digimon card game is I fucking love Digimon. Just as a franchise, so that helps. That's the thing about a licensed card game is that, like, that's your immediate in, is if you're already into Digimon.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to get into it if you're not already, like, vaguely interested in Digimon.
It helps know the material too. Like, yeah, as the two motherfuckers that spoke about adventure, seeing all the adventure cards being like referenced is like, okay, it's cool. Okay, the four Dark Masters have synergy with each other. Okay, they're like. Like, was it Tamers and their Digimon like work well with each other and stuff? This whole like archetype line's based around just playing the Tamers and their Digimon. You know, it's cool. And then there's the more obscure references like, fucking what's it? I'm
Dawn
trying.
Dusk.
Yeah, no, the fucking archetype that's just the fucking DS games.
Or the archetype that's a Digimon that only ever existed in one video game, which is the Vemmon stuff, which was the final bad guy of Digimon World 3 and has never appeared in anything else ever since.
And you can play 50 copies of it. The game is a 50-card deck, by the way, so.
Yeah, so you're relentless rats.
Or the D Reaper deck, which is just the same thing, but you don't play any actual Digimon. You just play the D Reapers, and it's weird little antibodies and little just creatures from Tamers.
Yeah, I suspect we'll get more D Reaper stuff at some point. Probably when there's another Tamers oriented set.
They always just splash
The
it in.
other. No, go.
They always just splash it in there, is what I'm saying. It's like, yeah, it's a card game. They can do whatever the hell they want. They could make up new D Reapers. Fuck it.
They could, especially with Liberator. Like, Liberator opens the door for them to introduce things within a piece of new Digimon media that is centered on the card game, which is nice. Have you read Liberator yet?
I have not read it because of the fact that despite Bandai really loving and pushing this game, they have not translated the chapter officially. And I'm just kind of lazy for like looking at fan
Read it on
sub.
Webtoon.
It's on what? It's just on Webtoon?
Yeah, it's on Webtoon.
I thought it was like, huh?
No. No, I hold on. I'll give you the link.
Huh, damn.
You can just read
Perhaps
it on Webtoon. Like officially. It's not
the this is
unofficial. It's an official translation.
Oh. Well, darn.
Yeah, hold on. Well, now you know. Well, there's not that many chapters right now, so like you're fine, but just so you know, here. Digimon Liberator, bam.
Wow. Imagine we have a podcast around, and I was just gonna say, like, Yu-Gi-Oh time.
Yu-Gi-Oh time,
Yu-Gi-Oh
but
time. But
I'm trying to think
first.
if there's anything else that we've done. Like with the Digimon card game, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I've done or you've done that might be worth talking about.
I really haven't. Like, again, adult things have happened from the last podcast, and it's just been kind of like, not a drag, just I have not had meaningful free time. It's mostly just been like keeping up with other hobbies that I've been doing in aside with the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, other than Dunmeshi, I'm not watching anything that's currently airing. So, and what am I gonna say? Dunmeshi good? Like that's I mean, Izutsumi's here. That's
Yay.
nice. I'm glad she's finally here.
The funny cat.
I'm a genius. Fucking love that cat. She's such a gremlin.
Literally a cat.
I'm a fucking kibby. But anyway, Yu-Gi-Oh! Okay. Where do we even start? So, like,
What?
do we start with the, do we talk about the how Yu-Gi-Oh became what it is stuff?
Allow me.
Please.
Yu-Gi-Oh is an awesome manga from 1995, I believe. Yeah. Created by Kazuki Takahashi for Shonen Jump,
Rest
or Weekly Shonen Jump.
in peace.
Rest in peace, the coolest guy ever. Who quite literally, from what I understand, like, died literally doing a Joey move of trying to save somebody from drowning. So, genuinely kind of the coolest dude ever who loved American comics, loved, like, the drafting, like, art process, and loved board games. And he thought, I want to mix all of this into one thing, and so he pitched and successfully, over the course of, I want to say, was it 50? I don't know how long Yu-Gi-Oh! Was in production. I want to say, like, at least a at least more than a decade. It was a consistent, like, thing for Weekly Shonen Jump. It was on there up with, like, the big three. Like, the real OG big three.
Yeah, Dragon Ball and
I think by the time Dragon Ball had, like, ended, by the time it was, like, towards, like, the Buu Saga was when Yu-Gi-Oh! Was starting up, and then
yeah.
it was running, like, the last arc, like, that arc in Egypt in the manga was running around the same time that, like, Bleach had just started, Naruto was in one of the, like, the cheating exams, if not,
Is
like,
yeah the original Yu-Gi-Oh is like till 2004, so yeah, that would have been around
the
early Bleach,
stuff.
early Naruto, yeah.
Yeah, it's in that really weird middle ground where it's like right at the end of like the big guns of the 90s, but ended at the start of like what we knew as like the 2000s, the aughts of like the big three of manga.
Yeah, because Naruto started in 99, early 2000. So like it would have been a couple of like 2, 3, 4 years into Naruto's run, and then Bleach, I think, came out in like 2000,
Oh,
or
so then
maybe.
yeah, Naruto would have been like, would that be with like the Star Shippuden?
No. It would have still been regular
Yeah.
Naruto, if as far as I know. Yeah, and Bleach started in 2004, so Bleach started as Yu-Gi-Oh ended, like the original Yu-Gi-Oh, not like GX or whatever, like the
Damn.
original run.
Yeah. That's just the manga. We're talking more about the we're an animation podcast, so we're talking more about the anime. So yeah. Originally, this is not the first Yu-Gi-Oh! Animated series. The first would have been what people refer to as Season Zero, which was just called Yu-Gi-Oh! And was done by Toei, I believe. I want to say like it was like a 36 episode. Like, is it like a 26 episode or like a 30 episode? Like sort of just regular Toei show, neat animation, cool music, cool vibes. It's a creepy, creepy like board game show with ghosts and ghouls and all the mind punishment games. It's kaiji for kids, but also like, you know,
some, with supernatural elements.
Some dudes just straight up died in that show.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Come forward a little ways to like, I want to say, was it 99? I should pull this up. I feel like I don't usually do the explanations, but because I fucking love Yu-Gi-Oh so much, and I'm a proud owner of at least a bunch of those triple, like, 3-in-1, like, Viz manga collections, I want to give it some proper justice.
Yeah, so, yeah. Duel Monsters, the anime, came out 2006? That can't be great.
No. Okay, so Duel Monsters, I think you're looking at the Duelist re-releases. So Duel Monsters aired April of 2000, ended September of 2004.
Right, okay.
So actually, yeah, no. It finished airing alongside the manga, basically, for 224 episodes. We have lives, straight up. We have things we have to do. We have big boy pants to put on. So we could not watch 224 episodes as of this moment.
That's how me, when Laser was still on this podcast, we decided that if we ever tackled a long-running shonen series, we would do it by arc.
Yeah, this is technically our second long-running, because Digimon is... Okay, do you count, like, the Adventure Dimension 2 as separate, like, shows, or the same thing?
They are separate shows, but they are part of a larger franchise.
Yeah, so it's, like, more... That's, like, a franchise thing. That's like saying, like, hey, do you count, like, Sentai as, like, one continuing season of a show, or like separate things? It's like, yeah, no. With Yu-Gi-Oh though, this was arcs, because it fucking had that like that nice little time slot in Japan and over here in the States of like, I want to say weekdays and weekends, Kids WB. Yeah, September 29th, 2001, and to June 10th of 2006. 5 years here. God,
that was 23 years ago.
Don't you dare.
Oh my god, I'm old anyway.
You don't want to know how old I was in 23 years ago. Let's just we don't want to talk about that, cuz that might just actually anyway, kill you. That'll kill both anyway, of us.
Anyway. I'll be sent right to the Shadow Realm.
By that context, I was already in the Shadow Realm.
Anyway.
You did. Oh god. Yeah, time moves on. Anyways, yeah, 2001, 2006, Kids WB, a brief stint on Cartoon Network, because that was when they were just sort of moving around IPs between Warner, like Warner Brothers were just passing around like crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're talking more so about Duel Monsters, as in the first season, Duelist Kingdom / Duelist / whatever you want to call it, which is the first 49 episodes?
49, 49,
50
episodes.
50, yeah, I hate that I'm like being ill with the numbers. It's just that like it's a big ass show, and we wanted to put a nice cutoff right there.
Yeah,
because yeah, and we have just let me go through. We have our big ensemble casts. Allow me, if you will.
Oh yes. We did, and by the way, I want to say for the people, we did watch the four kids dub. Shut the fuck up.
We watched it dubbed, and I will get into why that is actually really cool and awesome. We'll get into why the Yu-Gi-Oh dub actually is the best. But yeah, our great, amazing four kids New York talent of Dan Green as both Yugi Moto and Yami / Dark Yugi / spoilers. We're not there.
Watch him.
I'm not supposed to say that. They don't know yet.
I'll put a redacted in there. Redacted. No, I'll put in the King Crimson sound effect.
That'd be great. That'd be great, actually. But yeah, we have Wayne Grayson as Joey Wheeler / Katsuya Jinouchi. It's Joey Wheeler, but I'm saying both those names just to give everybody a bone, to give the manga readers a bone.
Mm-hmm.
Anzu / Teya by Amy Birnbaum. Tristan slash Honda, voiced by Greg Abbey and no one else.
Listen, you don't have to be so mean to him. He's a great voice actor.
He is now, but Sam Riegel, if you're out there, love you. You're so cool and awesome. Why did you give him a Barney voice? Or why did you let the ADR guys trick you into giving Tristan that goofy Barney voice? Yeah, Sam Riegel did voice him for the first 10 episodes. And it's something. It's not terrible, but it could. It's like whenever people think of Tristan, they think more of like Greg Abbey's performance, because he voiced him just forever. He's the Tristan voice. Continuing on, we have Ted Lewis as Bakura and Bandit Keith, and to match the great Dan Green, the equally as great, equally as hammy Eric Stewart as Seto motherfucking Kaiba.
Man, I love dub Kaiba so much.
Am I forgetting anybody else? Oh, yeah. Last three, because there's also Tara Jane Sands as Mokuba, and Darren Dunstan as Pegasus, and last but certainly not least, the late, great Matty Blaustein as Solomon Moto.
What else we got? Maggie Hollingshead as Mai.
There we go.
And then Ted Lewis as Bandit Keith.
I voiced him as Bakura. I mentioned that with Bakura. I put him together with Bakura.
And then we also have my favorite fucking James Carter as Evil Underwood.
Oh God, I forgot about James Carter Carhart, the current Meowth voice, I believe.
And then Sam also voiced Rex Raptor.
Actually, there's a lot of people in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Dub. It's more just that, like, because this is Duelist Kingdom, those are all the mainstays, unless you want to count the Kaiba Corp guys and fucking What's-His-Face.
I had to talk about, like, all of the big competitors. Like, also, Andrew Rennell as Mako Tsunami.
Oh yeah, Andrew Rennell is in this, which is fucking insane because, again, everyone's really talented actors. Andrew Rennell does fucking Broadway. Like, he was a Broadway actor before and after this. Like, he's in by the South Park guy. Like Mormon, like, not Mormon. What was it called? Book of Mormon. He's in like the Currencies of Invincible as I forget what was it? His friend, the friend with the red shirt.
Oh yeah.
Again, I mean, like, not saying like above and below pay grades. It's more just like everyone else kept either doing anime or just, you know, doing 4Kids things, and he's just in fucking like Broadway, or was in Broadway, and now he's just doing other like roles that are not anime anymore. Such is the case that happens. It's just a neat like outlier.
Right.
And then, of course, we have, like, the various other 4Kids, like, voice, like, talents. I'm trying to, like, go through just names. Mark Dreisen, Mark Thompson, Oliver Wyman. Ted Lewis has a bunch of other background characters. Wayne Grace has other background characters. I'm trying to think of who else, like... Fucking... Oh, yeah, when I was doing a rewatch... The iconic voice of hey, it's me, Sanji, David Moo, as player killer of darkness, or as we all know him, Panic, which is honestly a better name than player killer of darkness. It's really funny how they had to justify, hey, why does he have the P and the K? Oh, because it's Panic.
Panic with a K.
It's like, sure, whatever.
Right. The deal with, like, the funny thing about Duelist Kingdom and, like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is, like, you talked about where Yu-Gi-Oh! Was intended to be, like, a gambling, like, game, board game thing, and, like, it was very clear that, like, what happened here was Yugi in one chapter played against Seto Kaiba in a game that was trying to emulate Magic the Gathering. And, Kazuki Takahashi was just trying to make a pastiche of Magic and had no fucking rules at all, but people thought it was really cool. So he was like, okay, I'll try and elaborate on the rules a little bit, make an arc about it, because people seem to really like it. And then I move on to continuing what this manga was supposed to be. Where, like, it's like, we do the Shadow Game larger plot with the Millennium Items, and it's like different kinds of games of your arc. And that was clearly what he wanted to do, but...
Big Co Money, fledgling 2000s Co Money with its JNCO jeans, wallet chains, real big fish playing on its Zune, said, "No, we need this. This will save us."
This is why Duel Monsters, just shit just happens in Duel Monsters in terms of like Duelist Kingdom specifically. Shit just happens as like. The rules had not been established at all in Yu-Gi-Oh! Because Kazuki Takahashi is not a card game designer. He doesn't know how to design a card game. He just wanted something that was cool and would tell an interesting story.
Which is fair in its own right, and again, a lot of detractors from the anime will say, like, oh, that's not how the cards work. When really, the problem with the show is that it was written as a story first, and then, again, one of the actual real issues of the dub... is they tried to set the fucking pork forkins meant wanted to make you buy toys, so they had to explain the card rules in the game when they weren't being explained in the sub. So it meant a lot of just a character will say, like, hey, this card does this and that, and then proceed to do the complete fucking opposite. But now you know how the card works, and they want to buy it, and they want to play it, and play Yu-Gi-Oh games, and spend buy more toys.
Yeah.
You know you want that Time Wizard miniature figure. You know you want that what was it? One of Keith's monsters. I had a toy of this. It was that little robot with a guillotine for a leg.
Pendulum Machine?
Pendulum Machine. Yeah, no, that shit fucking was the coolest ever. I had so many toys of Keith's monsters, and
I'm looking at my shelf right now. Sitting on my shelf is a zombie crawling dragon, a Thousand Eyes Restrict, and a Blue Eyes Shining Dragon.
I think I literally have, I don't want to run and get... Give me 1 second. I'm going to do this, fuck it. Because I think I actually have this. I'm doing this, we're doing this, we're going down the memory hole.
Have my OG Yu-Gi-Oh poster right behind me. All right, Jenk has left. Jenk has walked away, and now I'm here, alone. How's everybody? What's going on? Y'all having a good time?
Fucking
great, amazing. Love to hear that.
Cheating because this is a card that does not show up in Duel Monsters proper. But hold on, we're getting a fucking picture of this shit.
Oh yeah.
I am. This ASMR of me opening this doohickey up. This fucking a doohickey of a card. Of a monster. Dude. Oh my goodness. Wait, the picture. I'm sorry to do this, but I have to. We are an auditory medium, so I have to make you all suspenseful. What card? What could this be? What cool, interesting monster? An iconic figure in Yu-Gi-Oh's fucking history? And the answer is none of them. It's fucking Rocket Warrior.
But he didn't appear until Battle City. Yeah, Rocket Warrior. You know, I don't know if you heard me, but in addition to those Yu-Gi-Oh figures, I also have my OG Yu-Gi-Oh poster right behind me. Still have it. But anyway.
Point is, yeah, we don't play about this series. We don't play about Yu-Gi-Oh.
But the... Here's the thing about that whole deal with it was trying to be, you know, like this weird anime, like this weird thing with like different games every arc. I, as much as I love what Yu-Gi-Oh! Became, I also would have fucking loved what it was trying to be. You know, like I wish that there had been more crazy, interesting games like Dungeon Dice Monsters that just showed up in Yu-Gi-Oh! That they played for an arc, and then they moved on.
Yeah, like that's like here's the thing is that you get like even okay, Duelist Kingdom 2 kind of does this where it'll have because of how laissez-faire everything is, there'll be like game modes during there. I think of like what was it, the fight with the Paradox Brothers where they have like the Half-Life turtles and
the maze,
all that stuff. It's like okay, that's Yu-Gi-Oh going back to form of like game shit, just using like the tried and true of Duel Monsters as like a portable like gaming apparatus thing, like as a vehicle for just game stuff. But over time, yeah, you could see that Duel Monsters is just the main way everyone does things to the point where it has to be. It is the main thing and the first thing foremost, but it is also a well if we have to keep making manga stuff so that way they can make more anime stuff and the anime stuff can promote the card stuff.
Yeah, it just makes me wish that there were more things that use the brand in different ways with different games. Like, I fucking love Duelist of the Roses, you know? And
fucking insane game conceptually.
Conceptually, God, we're not gonna get into Duelist of the Roses. That's a whole thing. If you want to know about Duelist of the Roses, there are plenty of people
who read Shakespeare. That's
yeah, read Shakespeare.
Invest in a copy of Shakespeare of the historical plays, and then you'll fucking see. You'll see what these roses are about.
This War of the Roses. But yeah, because the card game was never meant to have rules. It was just kind of like whatever Kazuki Takahashi thought was neat and cool at the time. It was like a lot of Duelist Kingdom feels more like an art, like feels like it follows like RPG rules rather than like a logical card game that you could actually fucking play.
Yeah.
And going back to that thing about moving on to different games after Duelist Kingdom, it's like, yeah, of course he probably wanted to move on to different games, because it's like, Yugi beat the guy who made the fucking game.
Again, yeah, like when we watched the show, he was forced into playing this. He doesn't hate playing Duel Monsters, it's more just, oh yeah, no, I'm doing this not because I want to play some fucking games and get surprise money. My grandpa's soul got taken out. And this psychopath wants you to play his game for some fucking weird prophecy he has because his wife exploded.
Into roses.
It's the fucking... I seen that clip and just the memories of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Bridge Club of just like, everything was wonderful. And then you exploded. Kind of weird that you did that.
God.
Oh, God. Like, that was the number one thing of rewatching, is just, like, nostalgia. Like, I didn't think I was that nostalgic for OG Yu-Gi-Oh! Until just, like, hearing that monster, like, summon sound effect. And, oh, God, all the monster stock noises. The weird elephant roar that Celtic Guardian always makes for some reason, despite being an elf.
The light point noises.
Like that. It's good. Shit like that sticks with you and you don't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that don't stick with me that I immensely blocked out. Like all the fucking original English vocal tracks.
Oh, listen. When we get to that duel with Yugi and Joey and that fucking song starts playing, I crack up every fucking time. It is so fucking funny.
The one that got me was the one that where Kaiba sneaked around. He's like, I'm just too cool. How does it go again? It's like some...
Oh, God, yeah.
It's not even Sonic Butt Rock where it's like, I can vibe with it because of the, like the nonsense. It's, oh, this is American businessmen trying to think what kids think are cool.
Yeah. Also, in the original, I think they cut it from fucking rebroadcasts of it, but in the Panic Duel, there's also a song that plays in the original. Hold on, I'll send it to you. Fucking, it was like, I'm not gonna panic or something. Yeah, I'm not gonna panic.
Oh my god.
It's also Butt Rock. It played during the Panic Duel, but I think they cut it from like rebroadcast for some reason. I don't remember.
It's not spelled with a K. Also, but yeah, Panic. Just fuck it. I don't know. You mentioned it reminded me of Panic. Reminded me, like, yeah, no, early Yu-Gi-Oh! Also had, like, the benefit of just... For every, like... Rex Raptor and Weavile Underwood that showed up and, you know, kept staying. We had the weirdos.
Yeah.
Like Kaiba's evil soul that became the Violator from Spawn. Could you tell
Yeah.
that Takahashi liked American comics?
And then you had Paradox Brothers
They came back
once
in
in
GX.
GX.
GX of all fucking things.
I mean, honestly, the duel with the Paradox Brothers is my favorite duel in the whole of Duelist Kingdom.
Yeah, because it's a Yugi Joey thing. It's about Joey. It helps. It's Joey like breaking out of his lack of confidence and being strategic. And it's just a fun duel too, because it's got the fucking Gate Guardian, worst piece of shit card ever.
Suijin Sanga, Kazujin Begin, Meldrum Powers, and Eternal Light, Gate Guardian. You know, all
Well, I
that.
mean, it used to be bad. Now it's good.
I love the like over the top, like this is especially true in the Japanese of like when they summon like big powerful monsters and they do like a whole thing about it. Like when Yugi summoned the Black Luster Soldier, it's like light and darkness crossing over to open the door to chaos. Black Luster Soldier. And it's the hype of shit. Like not even it's dumb. It's so fucking dumb.
No, Summit
But
Chants fucking rock. A real sad thing is that Yu-Gi-Oh! Kind of like, not phase them out, just we don't get them much in dubs, which is why like, in my opinion, the thing that like sort of maintained that spirit of like your cards are really cool dudes, you're summoning from like some fucking dimension, is the Card Fight Vanguard anime, because they keep
Yeah.
that in the dubs for those, and they like go all out with like fucking like pros and shit about like their fucking heroes.
Oh God, or like in 5Ds when Yusei summons the shooting quasar dragon.
That's what just burned into my brain because of how fucking sorry,
All
just
the
how
star
fucking cool it is.
all the stars align. It's any we can't talk about 5Ds right now.
Not yet.
Not yet. We will at some point. I fucking love 5Ds. To a point. it gets bad after a point, but anyway. There's also just like all the wet weird, you know, the hot funny haha pointing out the four kids dubisms. Like the scene after the duel with Joey and Bandit Keith just like hops over to Pegasus and just points menacingly at him.
Yeah, the menacing pointing is something. I don't understand why, like, I don't understand why guns were so bad. Okay, I know why. It's just more like, it's one of the rare things where I feel like kids will notice. Hey, why are they pointing at him?
I mean, we didn't question it as kids.
Fair enough.
And then did you find out, like, oh, it's because he was straight up holding a fucking gun. It's like, oh, okay, that makes more sense, actually.
What you mean, was it a dark energy disc or like a ghost blade, but an actual fucking guillotine about to cut somebody's head off? Oh shit.
What do you mean Bandit Keith died when Pegasus dropped him into the ocean?
Well, that part's like up to interpretation, because Bandit Keith either dies, is in limbo, or lives, and that's gonna gets like possessed. Take your pick. Nothing goes good with Bandit Keith.
I think he died, and then like Merrick possessed his zombie or some shit. I think that's what happened. And then his corpse was burned alive in that building.
That's obviously cheating card games for kids.
Card games for kids, heart.
Chain don't pay.
And then you have that sh and then it's like, then you have that shit with the duel with Yugi and Kaiba, the rematch, where it's like, Kaiba's like, the blast might make me fall, Yugi. No, that's not what's happening here. What's happening is that Seto in the Japanese is like, if you attack and win, I will literally jump off of this castle wall and fucking die. I do not fuck around.
It's insane.
I am Seto fucking Kaiba, and I've never fucked around a day in my life.
It sucks too because like it cuts out one of my favorite scenes from the manga, where it's like of why he does that, where it's just Sayo going a flashback to when he was playing chess with his dad, goes to Burrow, and he beats him, and it's like, ah, Seto, you beat me. Now I'll teach you the final rule, the rule of all victors and losers in this game. Learn this well, and then he jumps off after losing to his death, and Seto's just like, ah, I see. Thank you, father, for this information. Thank you for teaching me, father. It's just like, what a no wonder he's so fucked up.
Yeah.
It's just a really, like, perfect scene, because in anything else, that's really stupid and dumb. In Yu-Gi-Oh!, you're just Kaiba. You're like, yeah, this is how the world works. If you lose at games, you are fucking worthless and you must die.
And the thing...
Sorry. You go.
No. The thing about Kaiba is that, like, both the dub... Like, I love dub Kaiba. But, like, he has a totally different energy to the original sub. And it's like they're both amazing, just in different ways.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, nothing gets me more hype than hearing, oh god, what's his fucking name? Kaiba's Seiyu.
Kenjiro Suda
just being, Blue Eyes, White Dragon!
Horobi no Basto Stream!
Basto Stream!
Is the coolest. No, like, that's the thing, too, is like, he outshines Yugi in the sub, in my opinion, because Yugi's voice actor. For a variety of things, more so like contract stuff, meant he couldn't come back. Just he couldn't be doing a bunch of these events in the same way that Suda could be doing. I remember there was something along the lines of like contract stuff that did. I don't know if it was just him. What I'm trying to get at is that Kenjiro Suda as Kaiba just is the star of that show, whereas with the dub, everyone just kind of sounds good in there. It's like it plateaus, but in a good way.
Yeah. And Eric Stewart, Kaiba, like, it's not so much a thing in Duel's Kingdom. Like, he's a lot more understated. Like, he has his dumb one-liners, but, like, it's not until Battle City that Kaiba just starts saying shit.
Going maniacal.
Like, maniacal. Or, like, just, he really leans into, like, the character that Eric Stewart portrayed, like, I am constantly thinking about, I don't know if you've ever watched Dark Side of Dimensions.
I actually did, while I was doing a watch through, I actually, with some friends, because they heard I was watching the Yu-Gi-Oh! For the podcast, they decided, hey, let's watch this movie, because we all thought, oh, wow, what a cool, awesome movie, it has all this, it's a Kaiba, like, that is, like, this cool Kaiba moment, but we didn't realize that the only good part of the movie is the Kaiba moments.
Yeah.
Because, review and a half, by the way, Dark Side of Dimensions, fucking horrible movie.
None of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Movies are good. None of them. Pyramid of Light? Trash.
The animation's nice.
And then fucking Bonds Across Time? Trash. Absolutely garbage.
The abridged one's funny.
The what was that?
The abridged one's nice. It's, the abridged
yeah,
one's
the
funny.
Abridged version is fucking funny.
Maybe I
yeah?
said three random motherfuckers. God
no,
knows
it is.
What.
I... If you want to watch Dark Side of Dimensions, watch Dark Side of Dimensions abridged, because it's like three different abridged people coming together to make a new abridged. So like the Yu-Gi-Oh! GX abridged guy and the 5D's abridged guy. It's kind of amazing, actually.
It really is just like for a thing of that time, like, what was it? I don't want to say how long ago it was because I'm gonna turn to dust as well. But for like a project of that time, of that scale, of that time, it actually has some production values. And you know what? Better written. At least they all just fucking say, hey, you know what? This is kind of stupid, and they're right for it. It is stupid. Dark Side of Dimensions fucking sucked. But every time Kaiba was there, he was the best character on screen, just because he just kept amping up. The whole point is they're fighting.
So the Bonds Across Time abridged movie came out 12 years ago.
Oh, I was gonna say 10.
No, 12. But yeah, you're right about Kaiba. Like that scene in Dark Shadow of Dimension, the line that lives in my head rent free from Dark Shadow of Dimensions is when Kaiba's going off about like this. He's trying to make that simulator or whatever, like come up with the solution to bring back Atem, and it's like, I don't want excuses. And he crushes the water bottle and throws it. and fire whoever designed that water bottle. A Kyber Corp product should never break that easily.
Like, that's it. That's the difference here, is that Kenjiro Suda Kaiba is, like, hammy and just insane. Whereas, like, Eric Suda Kaiba is insane because of how petty he can be.
Yeah.
And that's the perfect balance. They're both good. It's just... it's like, you can't make one do the other, because when you try... another thing I really wanted to state is that for all the dumb dubisms, it is great that we got Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, I'm glad we got Yu-Gi-Oh! Like that first to like sort of ease in the narrative and ease in like the story, because people for all the jokes they make understand and respect Yu-Gi-Oh! And are like, yeah, no, this is a cool story. Because if we got Yu-Gi-Oh! Like literally dubbed, like a much more literal faithful translation, it would have been a much more confusing and dumb show. How I know this? Because history time. Back around the airing, like the actual the show was airing, there was actually two sets of DVDs for Yu-Gi-Oh! One was the TV like dub we got, like with my four kids. Another, I don't know if it was Konami commissioned it. Some people say that Funimation commissioned it or like licensed it, but it was just a more straightforward dub of Yu-Gi-Oh! The first 19 episodes, I believe, or like 9 episodes. So it's like from the start to, I want to say, the first like Keith fight, or maybe even like, because all I've seen of it is just like the start up until like the fight with Weevil. So they call him Sector Haga in that. They call Joey they call him Katsuya Joey in that one, as like some sort of middle ground, which is neat. But everyone else sounds really off and weird in there, because everyone's just kind of stilted. They're just reading to fill them out the lip flaps while also trying to like say what they're actually saying, and it just comes off as like, not soulless, just, where's the quips? You're waiting for a quip, you're waiting for, like, some dumb one-liner, and it never happens. And it kind of makes the duels not, just, like, a little bit boring. Shit just sort of happens, and you're like, oh, shit's just happening. Not, oh, this is a game with rules. Because, again, those English dub people are trying to sell you on the game to buy, so they're trying to explain the cards. And it actually helps. In my opinion.
Right. No, I get you. The one weird thing about the dub, like, there's a lot of weird things about the dub. Another thing that's weird about it is, like, there are a couple of scenes that, like, just don't make sense. And not in, like, a, oh, that's funny, or, like, that's a weird, funny, ha. Like, no, it, like, actively fucks with the plot. The one I'm thinking of specifically is that there's the duel between Kaiba and Pegasus. And Yugi straight up says, because of his Millennium Eye, he can read Kaiba's mind. And Yugi shouldn't know that he can do that. And in fact, he said that, and then Tristan's like, he can do what? And then it's like that lie never happened, and we do that whole like B plot where Tristan and Taya and Joey try and go and see if Pegasus is cheating. And it's like, this whole thing, even though Yugi straight up told him how it worked, even though he shouldn't know it, and then within the duel against him and Pegasus, that's when he figures out how Pegasus's Millennium Eye works.
Huh.
It's weird. It's weird.
I never really, like, took that in.
Right?
Like, I
never would have noticed it unless I was like, you know, I'm watching and I'm like, oh, I have to be taking this in.
Doesn't he know that from the start in like the VHS duel?
I don't know, but the thing is that it still doesn't make sense for Tristan and Taya to go off and try and figure out Pegasus is cheating when Yugi literally said it.
Another moment similar, not like a plot moment, but like a moment that like just sort of loses value, is the scene. What was it? The scene in when they're camping, and it's like, because it was, they had the censor, because it was like, oh yeah, it's the showering scene with like, it's Taya and Mai, and so they sort of voice over as like, why are you with those losers? They're lame and stupid. When in like the manga and the OG, it's just, it must be fucking, it must be hard being a duelist and a girl at the same time. It's like, we all have to, like, it's just Mai being kind of deep about like, yeah, no, I'm on my own because fucking dudes suck, and I have harder challenges just as, like, a girl duelist, because everyone expects me to play girly cards and girly strategies, and I use that to my advantage, because people will take advantage of you. So that's how it is. And it's her
and
way
then,
of...
No, I'll let you finish.
I was going to say, no, it's her way... It's really neat, because it's her way of both showing off her philosophy, but also showing off, like, why she kind of keeps losing, is because she's ultimately alone. Like, she's not, like, in need of anybody's help, but now she doesn't have any real friend group, which is why it's, in some ways, like, pathetic, but in, like, an endearing way. Like, oh, yeah, no, this... She has made friends with these people. Because,
and
you know,
then,
they're the friendship squad.
And then Yu-Gi-Oh! Would go on to make lots of great, well-written, nuanced female characters.
What? Are you saying that interaction was the first and last great female character interaction in Yu-Gi-Oh? No. No,
oh,
that's...
God.
I'm... Nah. Nah, I'm sure...
No. There was one in, Vrains, when... never mind, I can't even finish that sentence.
Don't even... No. Don't... You said Vrains. Don't even try. Vrains is... I like that show, and even I'm like, nah, that show fucked over everybody in it, somehow.
Yeah. But anyway... it's just a weird doublism thing, and there's also, like... I think the other standout, like, the two other standout dub performances, I think, other than Eric Stewart, are, like, fucking Dan Green as Yugi. And, we just said his name, Pegasus.
Darren Dunstan.
Yeah, Darren Dunstan's Pegasus. Like, I fucking love Pegasus. Yugi boy.
Yugi boy.
Yugi boy. Which is, like, just a translation of, like, in Japanese, we would say Yugi boya, or Set or Kaiba boya.
Oh, a big, scary, dark magician.
What oh, a... how terrifying.
How terrifying. Ah, Gorgonzola cheese, some fruit juice, and the world's finest comic book. What more could one ask for?
Ooh. I fucking love Pegasus.
I love that chain so much, because it's so much shittier of, like... Again, it adds to it. It's like, oh, it could be cheese and wine. It's like, no, it's Gorgonzola cheese and, like, fucking Hawaiian punch. He's a fucking... I don't want to say a man-child, but, you know...
He kind of is.
Kind of is. You don't make the world's greatest card game and not be a bit of a fucking man-child.
It's really funny, because it's like... You look back on it, it's like, oh, man, I love Vegas. He's such a silly guy. And then, like, you rewatch Duelist Kingdom, and it's like, he literally kidnapped a child... Put him in a dungeon and, like, stole his soul and almost made his brother duel against his empty soulless shell that he had kept in a dungeon.
May I remind you, dungeon with others because of that one throwaway line of, like, put him in the dungeon with the rest, implying that, like,
there's just... more people in his dungeon.
We have to look at the logistics here of just random billionaire game developer invites, like, majority, like, a bunch of just kids and, like, four or five, like, grown-ass adults, of which three are identified, fucking, self-identified, their job occupation is card game mercenary, whatever that means.
Yeah, card game mercenary, like...
Slash it's player like killers, the, but just...
It's like in fucking, Build Fighters, where, in that one thing where... someone interferes with one of the battles and it's one of the members of the Gunpla Mafia. I love Hobby Annie.
Hobby Annie are so fucking cool because the world revolves around the hobby, it means that you just put the hobby in front of an occupation and it just works. Fuck it, there's dual construction workers. They fucking... I don't know, they build the stadiums that people duel on, and then you fight in the preloaded stadium, so they can jump around the girders like Tarzan, because they know the ins and outs of the stadium, and that means their monsters have attack value based on the altitude. I don't fucking know. I'm just playing.
Well, no, Cenk, a better example would have been in 5Ds, when Yusei had to duel the fucking warden of the prison he was in.
Yeah, it was dual prison, and yeah, he had to get... The fucking... The garbage cards that all the fucking inmates get because it's dual prison. You don't get rights in dual prison. You don't get fucking rares in dual prison. You get commons. You get fucking... What's a stupid card? You get fucking Mushroom Man. You get fucking Beaver Warrior. You get fucking Skull Servant but with no support. So it's just the OG Vanilla Skull Servant.
Yeah. It's funny. It's just really dumb. Yu-Gi-Oh! Just is inherently silly.
And
And
like the cast like leans into it. They realize, yeah, this is a show about fucking card games being everything, or this is a show that started off with card games being everything from a manga about games meaning everything somewhat,
yeah.
and an overlying mystery, but I
Yeah.
digress.
And we talk about the dub is silly and the show is silly. And I remember most of the silliness, so it's sort of like I'm not surprised anymore. But there was a single line that honestly I cracked up laughing when I heard it. It was meant to be funny. And that's that going back to that scene with Mai and Taya, it's that bit where Joey and Yugi and Tristan are in the background sitting around the fire. And Yugi is just like, Joey, I don't think we're supposed to cook the candy bars. Ah, back off, I know what I'm doing.
Back off, I know them do. It's the, you know, like, you could see why the quote unquote first abridged series started off being about this show, because the way like the way the jokes were sort of thrown in there feels like an abridged series.
Oh, yeah.
It feels like, yeah, no, we're trying to like sort of make comedy here where there isn't any, and sometimes it lands and sometimes it's fucking oh, it was like a Tristan. It was a fucking Sam Tristan line that pissed me off. It was the same vein as that Magikarp about like, hey, how big he was putting his hand. No, what was it? It was like he put his hands out and he something along the lines like it was this big,
I caught a
or
fish this big.
yeah, I caught a fish this big. Yeah, no, I feel like it was during the Mako fight. Either I'm gaslighting myself or it was something like that.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, they haven't
And
reminded me that Mako's fucking cool as shit.
oh yeah. No.
Like, not cool in like the like, oh, he's like super cool, awesome. Like, oh no, of the duelists they fight and are reoccurring, he just plays the game pretty straightforward.
Yeah, he's just a guy. He's just a
He's
normal dude. I mean,
like
Rex is just a loser and he plays the game straightforward.
Rex is
Rex is a loser.
a grappler player. He just gets mad when people complain. He's the guy that buys three Dino Smashers Fury and then gets mad when they ban Oviraptor, even though they should, and then just still plays it anyways. He's just dumb. Weevil's just a bitch because he cheats.
Have you read fucking, oh God, what's the fucking card? The joke's gone anyway.
Oh no.
Go yeah, Ghost Oviraptor should have been banned. But what are you gonna do? Dinosaurs be like that.
Three Dino Smashers Fury still works. You just gotta. It's Theseus. Everything that gets banned, you add in new dinosaurs. Is it really Three Dino Smashers Fury?
Is it really? Is it just it?
It's only two
No one will
now.
ever. No one will ever suspect three Dino Smashers Fury. Oh God, that was the job. Yeah, have you read Mescellaneosaurus? That was it. Have you read Mescellaneosaurus?
Oh my fucky. What?
What doesn't Mescellaneosaurus do? Anyway.
See if he if Rex had those cards in Duel Monsters, brute force, baby.
He would, but the problem is that a better Yu-Gi-Oh character would come along to play dinosaurs. Fucking Hasselberry.
Dino DNA.
Dino DNA.
I'm so glad that fucking the Hasselberry is like the new like the actual face of dinosaur strats, because Rex sucks.
Yeah, Rex is a fucking loser. At least Weevil is memorable for just being like a little shit. Like Rex is just a loser.
Rex is just some guy who plays dinosaurs because they're big and strong. Hasselberry has fucking a dinosaur bone in his leg because he broke it during a fossil dig. His life is about like actual dinosaurs. He
That
fucking
is
loves
still.
dinosaurs. That's his fucking his hyper fixation. And he's gonna make you know it.
Yeah. There's another thing that I didn't know about until like a couple years ago when it came to especially the old card game. Like, this isn't really shown in the anime, but when they actually made the Toon cards, they couldn't be played if you didn't control Toon World and they couldn't attack the turn they were played. Like, oh, they're Magic the Gathering cards.
Oh yeah,
They have
cause
to have the land to play them, and they can't detect, they have summoning sickness.
huh.
and they're like Western. It's like to their cartoon, so it's like, oh, we're doing a Magic the Gathering movie. I see. Got it. Understood. Oh man, it's just weird. And also, like, the other thing that old Yu-Gi-Oh, like especially Duel Monsters, like really did really well that I don't think new Yu-Gi-Oh does anymore is like a lot of monsters are just like big robots or dragons or anime girls, but like in what universe nowadays would you see a card like twin-headed illusionist or Thousand Eyes Restrict or fucking Barrel Dragon?
Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, I think that's the problem is that it's in leaning into more archetypes for like characters, it started just building hard archetypes. And
Yeah.
that's kind of like. In some ways, it sucks because, like, I would have liked if it was archetype like light, in the same way that, like, the DCG is of, yeah, you can play Machine Digimon, but you don't have to play it like that exact line. Whereas with Yu-Gi-Oh! It's like, yeah, no, you gotta play fucking. I don't know what the fucking. I'm trying to think of a good name now. Kishti. I don't know how to pronounce this. That fucking one mobile suit from Unicorn. The red dudes that are relevant in the Yu-Gi-Oh!
Oh, the Kshatriya?
Kshatriya. Kshatriya.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you have to like yeah, you can only play those cards, but then also you can play the dudes from the story tie-in that's not released in English. That are related to their archetype because of the artwork, and then you can play the side things, and it just. Where's the love? Where's the freaks? Where's the fucking. Where's the zombie dragons and the fucking Senju the Lone Samurais?
Where's like Summon Skull and just like weird shit, like weird fucked up
The
monsters.
American comic book, like
I
again,
don't
the
know.
American comic book, like spawn monsters that just show up for no reason. It's like, yeah, this is just some fucking level 4 Tedra attack creature.
Yeah. Fucking
Here's Time Wizard.
Ryu Kishin
Time Wizard fucking rocks.
and K Karibo.
Kuribo does not fucking do that. Kuribo does not fu I every episode Kuribo was in, it was so funny, just, especially with the Kaiba, like the Kaiba on the roof one, is just Kuribo doesn't do that.
No, are we gonna talk about like that wax? It's like Yuki combined polymerization with the spell arrow card to combine zombie graveyard with the dragon and rotted it from the inside out, like that wax shit.
Fuck it, like polymerization as a card is just it fuses things. It's a welding iron. Don't fucking ask questions.
I mean, none of those we talk about, like the game wasn't meant to have rules, it just whatever was cool at the time. Nothing is fucking dumber in Duelist Kingdom than I fired the Gaia the Dragon Champion from my catapult turtle at the flotation ring of the Castle of Dark Illusions to crush your monsters.
Yeah, that's the dumb one. Attack, because attacking the moon is like just can't do that. But you're attacking a field spell. That's
Right.
there is some cohesion there. What I'm saying is you can make a retrain of Giant Soldier of Stone that says when it attacks, destroy one like field spell,
There is
and there you go.
literally a card, a spell card called Attack the Moon.
There, exactly. You can make retrains. With this, how the fuck do you retrain that into the card game?
You don't.
Or I guess if
But
you have to make a whole new fucking set.
Konami will do anything to make the Yugi boomers hard.
Here's all fucking panics monsters. They have like got no something like negative summoning conditions. They can be plopped onto the field as long as you have like the field. You know what it is? Yeah, you have to have two fucking spells: a continuous spell called Top Ring of the Field of Illusion, and then the actual field spell called Field of Illusion. And then if you get rid of the continuous spell, it fucking, I don't know, they die. There we go. $1 million idea, Konami. Where's my royalty check? Where's my panic fucking merchandise?
No, they're too. We're too busy making. What's a Yu-Gi-Oh? What's a Yuki card that we haven't made into our archetype yet? Spins the wheel. Gazelle. the king of mythical beasts. Fuck it.
We're joking, but I literally just said that they already did make a relatively, like, popular, like, rogue tier, like, what was it, Gate Guardian retrain series.
I know. You... Like, they keep making shit for the Yuki Boomers. They just keep doing it.
And it's kind of exciting, actually. Is like, that means that every single old card has the chance to do something. Fucking Penguin Knight. Or not Penguin Knight. Is it Warrior? The Joey card that he has. The Flip Monster.
Penguin Soldier.
Yeah. That's a whole archetype now.
Yeah. I love Penguins. They're great.
Of Flip Monsters. Penguins now are default, like, a Flip Effect like archetype, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, it's a shame Flip Effects aren't good in Yu-Gi-Oh! Anymore, because it's too slow.
Yeah, Yuki Boomers don't care.
Yuki Boomers do not care. They want to play Blue Eyes, and they want to play Dark Magician.
So every year they get Blue Eyes, Dark Magician, and the Dark Magician stuff always sucks, and the Blue Eyes stuff is always just turbo something out that kills you.
And then Red Eyes still is not a coherent archetype, because we don't know what to do with Red Eyes.
Do we make it equipment-based, because Joey used equipments? Do we make it warrior-based, because Joey used warriors? Do we make it some fucked-up third thing because of that structure deck release that was just its own fucking... Remember Alexis's brother from GX? I don't.
And his name was Atticus, thank you. And then what if we fucking made more hero support? Yeah, that's what the game needs, more heroes. And then we still end on Dark Law.
It's more steps to making Dark Law, and then more steps to making Quasar.
We're going to let it, and then it's just like, we made all these cool new heroes. Great, it lets me make Dark Law faster. Wait, no, that's not what we meant. We want you to play the new ones. No, it lets me play Dark Law faster.
Isn't Stratos unbanned?
Yeah, he's at 3, and Hero is still trash. Malicious is at 3, and Hero is still trash.
I'm sorry to see now that for every, like, no matter how, like, bad the anime can be, it'll never be as bad as just thinking about the card game. Just thinking about the card game and, like, how it works, and then by works, I mean it doesn't.
Yeah.
Yugi does what nobody else does, because it doesn't do anything.
Yugi's... Okay, like... It's so
Yu-Gi-Oh! Fucking... I meant, not Yugi the dude.
No, like, it's so fucking funny. Like, my favorite thing someone has ever said about Yugi is, like, someone was like, man, Yugi really was the fucking king of games. He must have been the greatest player ever. He became the world's best duelist and won this huge tournament with this absolutely trash-ass no synergy deck.
Literally just a luck-based deck.
It's just a pile of trash.
We're a fucking less than a draft deck.
And somehow, fucking he becomes the king of games.
And that's not Yugi as in Dark Yugi, that's fucking like Yugi Moto, because... A thing that's really cool, especially about Duelist Kingdom, going back to the actual fucking show, is... And it's a nice little touch that's not really intentional, just something that's cool... When Dan Green starts voicing him, there's not that much of a disparity in their voices, so you almost really think it's like, oh, this is really good. This is before we know he's a pharaoh, or we know anything. We just know that, oh yeah, Yugi has like an alter ego. When he's like, from the perspective of us, the viewers at the time, and the characters, he just locks the fuck in. Because remember, we don't have fucking the manga to tell us that this has always been happening. There's always been like an alter Yugi, and there's like a spirit in the Millennium Puzzle. We just know that until the end of the show, the epilogue and stuff, we don't know anything about Atem other than just feel free to fucking King Kermit's in that. We don't know anything about Dark Yugi except for just that he is Yugi's like Yugi when he plays the game seriously, and he kind of is just that. And that's and like the way the voices don't really change as much until later on once they start to really like differentiate, and you see the softer voice for like Kid Yugi and then the big epic Dan Green voice for Yami. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a neat touch, and I think this season shows it off the least, which makes it the coolest, because you really just feel like it's a guy who locks the fuck in when he tries to help his friends and play a game. Yeah, it's just a nice detail to me, and
yeah,
people always like discredit it.
No, going back to my thing about I wish that it had become different games, because the whole thing with the duel against Pegasus, where it's like, yes, he won the game, but also he won because of this other cool strategy, which was the mind shuffling. And it's like, I wish that there was more of that kind of stuff in this, and there would have been in a series that was about other games, but that's wanting Yu-Gi-Oh! To be something that it wasn't. And honestly, it makes me hope that, especially with the passing of Kazuki Takahashi, that someone out there tries to, like, much like how Jujutsu Kaisen kind of like picks up the torch of Yu Yu Hakusho, I kind of hope that someone tries to do something like Yu-Gi-Oh! At some point, you know?
I just like I don't want to. The closest thing we have is just the like what was it, Yu-Gi-Oh! Go or like Rush or whatever Rush duels are. And honestly, yeah, like that's the closest thing we have to like a reset, because it is just five monster zones, nothing extra crazy. They just introduced like fusions and like whatever, but it's much more kid oriented and much more just like a simpler card game. I wish I picked up Steam here, because some of the archetypes there actually are kind of cool. Some of the retrains are like funny little callbacks, and I don't know. It's the like the vibe is it's not for me, but it does feel the closest to like what watching this show felt like. Of like, oh yeah, there's no big metas, there's no extra stuff, there's no like wondering how cards interact. It's just, oh yeah, this is a deck I have. I play it, and I yay yippee. That's all I really have to say about, I guess, for now, Yu-Gi-Oh! As a whole, but mostly Duelist Kingdom, because it's good, it's fun. The
Yeah.
dub is not, for all the shit and shit and giggles, it's not bad. It's not bad. It's actually very solid.
Yeah, Duelist Kingdom was a lot of fun, but next time we talk about Yu-Gi-Oh, we'll be talking about, at least in terms of Duel Monsters, the original series, we're gonna be talking about Peak Yu-Gi-Oh next time. We're gonna be talking about Battle City.
Actually the best arc ever. Not in Yu-Gi-Oh! The best arc ever of all time.
I don't know about that.
I don't care, fight me, Battle City goes harder than fucking Namek. I said it. I
Oh,
don't
you
care.
mean arc, not just Yu-Gi-Oh, arc, period, of
Best arc
anything.
period. Namek sucks, Shibuya sucks, fucking you know what? I'm not gonna say Dark Tournament sucks, because that's a fucking lie, but I almost considered it. I almost considered it. I almost considered it. What does it say?
Better than the tune-in exams, confirmed.
What does it say about me and Yu-Gi-Oh? Who knows?
For sure. But no, but jokes aside, Battle City, it's peak of the original series. Like, there's other stuff in Yu-Gi-Oh! That, like, reaches that, but not in the original series. Like, I think the final arc of GX is up there with Battle City, but that's
I'd say the final arc of like five, the final arcs of GX and 5Ds, as well as like the Dark Signer arc and 5Ds are pretty cool.
Oh yeah, for sure. Dark Signer arc is like peak 5Ds, and I
But yeah,
think the
that's.
show takes a downturn after that, but we'll get to that when we talk about 5Ds.
We can talk about Zale. We can talk about Zexal or arc 5, and those
Okay.
are shows that I just not interacted with. I don't want to get into any fucking
Yeah.
kerfuffle about those. I have not experienced those shows in any proper way, aside from just like. Actually, that's when I played the game the most, when those cards came out. So I know the cards, well, not the shows.
Yeah, just to say for people out there, when we originally picked Yu-Gi-Oh, we were like, we should do a hobby anime. We also talked about maybe doing Beyblade. That is also on the table. 'Cause God, there's a lot to talk about with Beyblade. Just
Oh, there is another dragon-themed character in another hobby anime that is the coolest character ever and the best, and nobody can beat him. But we will save that for a rainy day. You will know.
we'll talk about Tyson some other time.
Shut up. Shut up. Fuck you. Shut up. Shut up. Podcast over.
Podcast is over.
Take care. Don't be a jackass.
Don't be a jackass. Bye.
Bye.
gonna panic. Here in the shadows, phantom of the night, attack without warning, extinguish all light. Brave the darkness, make my stand right here. No matter how you come at me, I'll show no fear. I won't give up, I won't break down. I'm not gonna panic. I will not run, I'll stand and fight. All you've done wrong, I will set right, no matter what you try tonight. I'm not gonna panic. Fill my heart with terror, do the worst you can do. Shivers up my spine, I'm not afraid of you. The dark can be scary until you find things you thought were frightening are only in your mind. I won't give up, I won't break down. I'm not going